It's time to get brutally honest.
What would you say that is, a 5-minute walk?
Yeah. Took a cab.
I called Steph to pick me up.
Really?
And you should have seen her trying to make a right-hand turn.
She's the worst driver in the world.
That's not good, eh?
I've never seen anything like it.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Well, as we know, every day has their special meaning. Everyone's got a day. Everything has a day.
Yes.
This one is a positive for us. It's Steph's birthday today.
It's Star Wars Day.
But that is the most annoying one of all. Uh-huh. May the 4th be with you is the most annoying pun, play on words.
Do they do it every month then?
No, it's only May 4th. Every year is May the 4th be with you, and all the Star Wars geeks come out.
I am your father.
That is ridiculous. I mean, Steph's birthday is borderline ridiculous, but she is turning 40, so.
She looks good.
Now I'm teasing. She's 33 years old. She looks good.
Yeah, Steph's 33.
Wow. That's a weathered veteran.
Oh, yeah.
Grown up.
At what age does she become, what were you calling it? Cougar and.
She's a snow leopard now, right?
Snow leopard. What is the cutoff date for a snow leopard?
I think once you
40?
Just get to 50 plus, you're in a different level where we don't even.
You're Blanche.
We don't have a name for that.
Well, she's not 50 plus, though.
No, she's 33.
Mid-30s, right?
A snow leopard.
I think she's still in solid cougar territory.
Right.
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone actually places parameters on that. Like what the actual years are and all that kind of stuff. I think it's a lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
Like what would we be called? Just middle-aged losers.
Goofs, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't losers. Know.
What do we have going for us?
Dad bods.
Midlife crisis. That's what... I'm 45.
Are you in a midlife crisis?
I don't think so. I don't think I've lived till 90. That's a long time.
There's no
such thing as a midlife crisis. You know that, right? Guys have always liked fast cars, hot-looking chicks. Like, so what? That's going to change?
No, but when you're 60... And you decide to dye your hair jet black and buy a Corvette.
That's a midlife crisis. You're halfway. You're beyond midlife. You're old.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, midlife is really mid-30s. Like life expectancies.
Well, hold
for
on.
Males is like 74.
I thought it was 78, but I do believe that it's starting to creep up. They're talking about people living into the hundreds now because of technology, because of health conscious.
No.
It's going to happen in our lifetime.
Would you want that? Would you want to live until you're over 100?
Sure. I'd like to be an old bag of dirt. People have to take care of me. Be awesome.
Well, do you see the big news over in the UK is Prince Philip is shutting down his public appearances?
Yeah.
I love how this is a story. The guy's 95. He'll be 96 next month.
Yeah.
No kidding. At the same time, I kind of envy him. Like, it sounds like he's basically just sending out the bat symbol. Don't bother me. I'm not showing up anymore.
Yeah,
I've been doing this for too long. I hate that my wife drags me out to all these stupid events.
Well, I saw the other day the oldest lady in the world passed away. I think she was like 116 or something. She was last born.
I saw a thing on Instagram today. There's a hockey player, like he's 95.
It's awesome. I think 90 would be perfect age.
No way, man.
95 and still active is pretty depressing considering we complain all the time.
This couch to 10 has really been a problem for us. You know, there's people that are 90.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
If I can't have sex, I don't want to be alive. Do you agree?
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, with technology and stuff.
I don't know how that sounded, but it was weird.
It sounded a bit weird, but we get it. Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, if you're not down with sex or you can't have sex, or play golf or any of that, I'm not down with that.
Okay, but here's the problem with that. Wanting to have it, having the ability to have it is one thing. Who do you think is knocking on your door when you're in your 70s?
Or 80s or 90s.
Let's just say this. If I can't have it, and it's just not a part of the deal, if you know what I mean, just blow my head clean off my body.
You're saying you want to be finished with life. That's it. You're done.
if I can't play nine holes and kind of play pretty good and then get laid after golf,
mm-hmm.
I check out.
You're done. Okay. That'd be an interesting tombstone.
Like
this guy died at 58.
Yeah, no golf, I'm out.
Couldn't golf, couldn't pick up girls, so he decided to
I just
ask
want
for
my
the
tombstone
check.
To read, I could not pick up chicks anymore.
So I am leaving this earth.
Yeah.
Enjoy
I had
yourself.
A good run.
Had a good run.
I would say he had a time.
There you
that
go.
Was it. He had a time.
I did it right.
Steph sending us an email. Apparently she would be considered a puma, an attractive woman in her late 20s or early 30s.
Pre-cougar, urban cougar.
What is an urban cougar?
A puma?
Yeah, so late 20s, early 30s would be a puma. Okay.
That's interesting.
I can get behind that. You're talking about tombstones. The Raptors, someone's,
good segue.
someone's chiseling away at their tombstone.
Can I just ask you one thing? I had to work last night. I saw bits and pieces of the Raps. But can you tell me if this was an actual clip on Instagram? I think it was like Bleacher Report. Like LeBron spinning the ball and like then he just stepped back and hit a three. I'm like, this is beyond embarrassing.
He did his free throw routine from the three-point line.
Right.
Like he was spinning the basketball as if he was preparing himself for a free throw in the first quarter of the first game of the exhibition season.
And I told you yesterday, I love Josh. I love Scotty Mack. I've heard them talk. And they're trying to break down what's going to happen if this doesn't work out. This is not working out. They never had a chance at the beginning. They don't have a chance. They're not winning. So just leave it be.
Well, and that would be where I would begin my little rant here.
Okay.
We can't say for 12 months they're not going to beat Cleveland and then be shocked when they can't beat Cleveland. Now, I'm surprised they played as poorly as they did last night. We have a DeMar DeRozan clip that is, quite frankly, an embarrassing clip.
It is completely embarrassing, and if I was his teammate, I would have said, you are a complete loser. That's a loser move.
And the way he played last night, that's a loser's race.
I was just going to say.
It's a loser's race.
Loser's
race. DeMar DeRozan was a complete non-factor. He looked like a second-round rookie playing in his first playoff game last night. I was yelling at the TV early in the third quarter when
really? He
wasn't even asking for the ball. Like he was like, please keep it away from me. A complete lack of aggression. Finishes with 5 points, which is flattering because he only had one through like 23 or 24
minutes.
Dude,
the Raptors are the Minnesota Wild. They're like, they got these talents, these different pieces, but ultimately they don't really have a chance to win, and they don't win.
And
it's like if your neighbor's got a really nice mansion beside you and yours is kind of a little piece of crap, you can redo the roof, you can put nice siding on it, you can get new windows, a new front door, but it's still not the guy's house beside you.
Well, and LeBron happens to own that mansion.
That's LeBron.
Yeah. LeBron.
That's LeBron.
LeBron is so good, and he was so good last night. And we'll play this DeMar clip in just a second, but ultimately,
do we really have to hear it?
Like, well, why don't we play it quickly?
Okay? I want
because
to hear it.
This is DeMar who's getting grilled by the media today about what happened over the previous two games, what's going on with your team, and specifically, how are you going to put an end to LeBron James punking you the way that he has through two games?
I mean, sometimes it's not even about LeBron. LeBron's going to be LeBron. We got to key out other guys. You know, we can't let Channing Frye go out there and get 20 points. We can't let other guys like that get going. You know, it's just, you know, you find somebody who stopped LeBron, you know, in these moments, and, you know, I give you $100.
So he'll give someone $100 if they can find someone that can stop LeBron. That is the most defeatist attitude. But here's the truth. No one is expecting you to stop LeBron. But to his earlier point,
right. They
do expect you to limit the damage of Kyrie and Love and Channing Frye and J.R. Smith. And they also expect you to score points. Like, if you really want to compete with LeBron, yeah, you're probably going to have to give up his 30 points. But DeMar, you can't score five. Like, yeah. You have to put up 32. Like, that's how you match LeBron. Not shutting him down, because you're not going to shut him down. But by actually performing and
right. Putting
up your own numbers. And everyone talked all year about how the Cavs were vulnerable and look how they played defensively. And this is a sad reality. And I know if you're listening in Cleveland online, you'd think, here we go with this loser mentality, and it's such a cop-out, but it's the truth. This is more proof the NBA season is the most irrelevant season in pro sports.
What did I tell you? The
it's
first the most day we started.
It's honestly, it's
we
not good for business.
We are starting the beginning of the NBA season, but you know what we're working towards? Golden State, possibly San Antonio.
Not anymore. Tony Parker got injured last night. He's done.
Okay. Well, it's Golden State versus Cleveland.
That's what it's going to be.
So why even have the regular season?
And that's the worst part of this is that the NBA has done a great job of marketing superstars. They are the Sports Center League. Right. Highlights left, right, and center. Great dunks, great fadeaways, great crossovers. And they're very lucky because, unlike any other sport for the most part, their 10 to 15 best players before the start of the season
right.
are the 10 to 15 best players by the end of the season. Very rarely do you walk out and say, who was that guy? I never heard of him before. What a career year that guy had. You know going in, LeBron, Curry, Durant, Westbrook, the Kawhi Leonard, like
Thomas,
these guys,
Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas, and maybe Isaiah is an example of a guy recently who kind of put himself on the map.
Right.
But for the most part, they are consistently the best players. They are consistently the guys who win all the time. And I think that is good for business because you know what you're paying for. You're going to see this guy perform. You know that he's going to put forth great moments.
So would you go as far as to say it's a watered-down product? It's a 20-man league?
This is the problem. It is... In many ways, for a lot of teams, for 25 fan bases in the NBA, maybe 27 or 28, it completely lacks emotion. How can you really be on the edge of your seat when you know what the outcome is going to be?
I agree.
It's very difficult to actually be upset today, and that's the point, is you can be embarrassed by the way the Raptors played. You can predict that they'll bounce back. And I tend to believe they'll win one of the next two games.
Yeah, I agree.
But are they going to win four of the next five?
What the hell?
Not a chance.
You honestly think they're going to win one of the next two games?
They did that last year. They got blown out the first two, then they won the next two at home, then they got smoke game five
against six. I think this has a different vibe to it.
It does feel a little bit different. It feels like they're glorifying LeBron and the Cavs.
I will bet you anything you want that they will not win one of the next two games. Anything.
Do you think they're getting swept?
Like... What did you just see where you can be confident they're going to come home and win a game?
I don't, and the problem is, too, Kyle Lowry injures his ankle, and he's actually played well through two games, and there's a good chance he's not going to play tomorrow night. So if he's out, I'm with you. If Lowry's out, then it's over. They're going to get smoked game three and game four. But I try to avoid this at all costs because it's the Canadian hockey guy stereotype comparing the two leagues.
Right.
Believe me, the NHL's got a lot of flaws, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But you look at the playoffs – in the two leagues.
Yeah.
In the NBA's East, the top four seeds got through the first round. Mm-hmm. Relatively easy, with the exception of Boston early in the round against Chicago, but then Rondo got hurt and they rolled. And the Raptors, of course, never making it easy on themselves against Milwaukee. Out West, seeds 1, 2, 3, and 5 went on. So okay. Utah beat the Clippers, but Blake Griffin got injured, and that was a fairly even matchup. You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah,
you knew it was going to happen.
Set in stone, almost.
Set in stone. And I'm pretty confident the top two seeds in the East and the top two seeds in the West are going to meet each other in the conference finals.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened last year. I believe it happened the year before. Montreal out in the first round.
Not happening in the NHL.
Chicago out in the first round. The Leafs push the Caps to 6. 5 of them go to overtime. St. Louis beats Minnesota. It's just there's a lack of predictability.
Ottawa beats Boston. You're not sure. Like who?
You're not quite certain. And believe me, the NHL's got flaws, and it was on display last night as well.
Yeah.
Because Edmonton got screwed last night. The referees absolutely screwed the Oilers.
The non-icing,
but for how Corey Perry doesn't get called for a goaltender interference on the first goal is beyond me.
Let's go to Noodles on that one. But when I first saw that one, I was like, that is the poster play for goaltender interference. It's like his skate hit his leg. It wasn't malicious. He didn't like.
No, it's
he had his back to the goaltender. But at the end of the day, he kind of. It was goaltender
interference. But he also hits his blocker. That's the thing, too. Everyone's focused on the right skate. Corey Perry touches his blocker. Where Getzlaf scores is where the contact is, where Perry hit his blocker. Talbot has to push into that spot to make the save. He can't do that. Why can't he do that?
But there because also Corey is Perry something else him. In the rules, I think, that was made very clear. If it's outside the blue paint,
right. Here's
that is the critical.
I want to give you this. Sorry to interrupt, because say it again. Outside the blue paint.
If contact is made and the goal does go in, it's deemed a goal.
Okay, so I looked at the overhead last night. Cam Talbot was in the blue paint except for his right toe. Like, it's basically, let's just give the skate. maybe a little bit more, middle, a little bit less. If you take a dump...
You love saying take a dump.
It's the most graphic.
Yeah, I'm
going to
give you a graphic because this I believe in this analogy.
Okay.
If you take a dump on a piece of bread, okay,
and eat,
and you make a sandwich,
yeah,
but then you add in a thin little layer of bologna, maybe 2-3% of bologna, and it's 90% crap.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a bologna sandwich or is that a crap sandwich? Because that's what Cam Talbot had to...
the worst description of anything I've
because
ever
heard. Because he had to eat a crap sandwich last night because 3 or 4% of his body was outside that blue paint. And that's that was my point. That's the graphic point.
Well, it was very graphic. I think you're getting your point across. You're right. I mean, we're all in agreement here. The only thing that I actually enjoy about a screw-up like that is that I hope it gets to a point where the NHL finally realizes they've got to get rid of this stupid review process. Because there's another example of why it's just a complete waste of time. What is the point of reviewing something if you're going to get it wrong anyway?
Well, that
what's the point of reviewing
we've
something
been saying it
if you're going to get it wrong anyway?
We've been saying it all along here. We said at the start of the playoffs, goaltender interference, a review is going to cost somebody at some point.
Well, it cost them twice.
Right.
Because the icing was egregious, too.
But they lost the challenge, and Perry was blatantly offside on the second goal.
They couldn't challenge because, yeah,
but that's my point. They lost. If they get the challenge right, they keep the challenge to challenge the offside
call. You must have watched that thinking, this is just not sport right now.
I hated every second of it. Now, to be honest with you, I hate the review of the offside. And I'm sure live in the moment, it didn't look offside.
No, it.
But by the letter of the rule, if you're going to have this rule, which the NHL has decided to have, again, get it right. So they don't get the goaltender interference right, and then they don't get the offside right. So then all of a sudden it's 2-2, and next thing you know, it's 4-3,
yeah,
Anaheim, and they're going home. And you're absolutely right. That was an icing in overtime. I don't know how they missed that.
Well, you see, Adam Larson throws his arm up. Now, he probably could... They can skate back. He can make a better play once he gets the puck.
Like if that. I was a referee, I think I might even blow the whistle as soon as I saw the guy go like, hello, icing.
Well,
he waved it off well before the puck was even close to the goal line.
And it's tough. Being a ref is tough. And I am actually, everyone calls me a goalie hugger. I'm a ref hugger too. I think the refs, they do a good job for the most part. And these are tough plays. We haven't even talked about the Bonino dive or whatever that was too, because he screwed the refs.
He did, and that's
another sub. Let's deal with this other subject first: the goalie interference and the missed icing.
But the thing is, though, with refs, I hear what you're saying, Noodles, and it's not an easy job. But it's like signing up to be a politician.
Yeah,
you signed up to be a politician.
Yeah,
so
it's your job.
If you sign up to be a ref, and this has been happening throughout sports. I mean, there was a debacle at Fenway again last night where the umpire jumps the gun. Throws out the starter for the Orioles.
Right.
When it was ridiculous, he threw a curveball. It happened to get away from him, and it hits Bogarts.
76-mile-an-hour curve.
And he throws him out.
Right.
I mean, it's happening all over pro sports where umpires and refs and officials, there is so much focus on them and so much focus on their mistakes, and the leagues are coming out and telling people that they made mistakes. There's so much pressure on them at this point. I think that is causing them issues. And you mentioned the Bonino embellishment on Oshie. That's where we're at with the game, because the physicality is out of it. You can't clutch and grab anymore, so it's all stick battles. That's what the NHL is for the most part.
I think that's going to be, they're going to have, like, remember they had the Shanahan summit where the competition committee. Now it's going to be.
That was a dive that Nazem Kadri would have been proud of last night. Like, seriously, that one was.
But Kadri wouldn't have gotten that call.
No, he wouldn't, because he has a reputation of that. And now Nick Bonino is going to have a reputation of that, and he'll take that. And Kelly Chase tweeted that out last night, said, would you take a $2,500 fine at that time of the game to get a fine in the mail, basically, from the league to kill off any man advantage? Because that helped seal the deal for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I think the answer is, as ridiculous as it looked, as kind of the old school guys that we are,
yeah,
I think everybody would say, you know what, I would take it.
You're right. That's the point. So what the league, or what the players and the league have to do in the next CBA, because it's not going to happen anytime soon, is you got to hit them in the pocketbook. And the maximum fine can't be $2,500 or anything like that. It's almost like what Strudwick was saying yesterday. Like, guys are mercenaries. If you know that something is egregious, the only thing you have to hit players nowadays, if you're a coach, it's ice time. If you're the league, it's fining and suspension.
But here's why it's not going to happen, because the players are going to negotiate against that because they don't want to have to pay more. And at some point during Gary's next lockout, the league is going to say, this isn't a hill we're going to die on. Forget it.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not worth it. It's not going
to
change.
This is becoming, and I asked somebody who was close to soccer, and I always asked, why the soccer players get a flick in the ear and they throw themselves on the ground? Because they say they try and draw a penalty and they get somebody off of the field. That's where it's heading.
Exactly. That's exactly what Bonino did last night.
Right.
Like, it's easy for hockey fans to criticize Ronaldo and all these other guys who do it, but they don't do it to embarrass themselves. They do it with a purpose, the same purpose Nick Bonino had last night.
Right.
I'm going to get a call here to effectively end the game.
Yeah.
And that's what it did.
He did, and he was probably laughing about it in the dressing room afterwards, but they're up 3-1.
Well, and to your point, there's every player in the league would pay $2,500 to make sure that their team wins game four.
Right.
And you got to give it to Pittsburgh.
A lot more than that.
You got to give it to Pittsburgh. They're up 3-1.
Flower was
great last night.
What an embarrassment for the Caps. I don't know, like I talked about on SportsCenter last night, with no Crosby, no Sheary, you got a chance to get back in the series. And Justin Williams talked about it on this show. He's like, this is Backy's team. This is Ovi's team.
Yeah.
Ovi did the big interview before the playoffs. It's time to start doing this and stop talking about it.
Yeah.
They were garbage last night.
How about your boy Alex Ovechkin, where a couple of weeks ago, everyone was taking a run at me because I'm like, this is a statement game for him. And apparently that wasn't a statement game. Game four, I think it was.
Do you not think last night was the ultimate statement game
for him
all time?
Absolutely. But this is what happens, okay? Ovi's got his 4 points through four games. He got his goals against the Leafs early in games. Remember that? Like second, third shift, he'd score and then disappear. But what ends up happening is he gets his points.
Yeah.
They get knocked out. And then next November, when this debate sparks about whether or not he has to lead his team to a championship, people are going to say, it's a team sport.
Right.
He gets his numbers. Last night, the Washington Capitals needed Alex Ovechkin to have a Ryan Getzlaf game.
Yep.
And the superstars, that is what you're supposed to do. Ovi never does it. Never. But he's always off the hook. It's always, well, but Holtby, but it's a team sport. Every other superstar in pro sports at some point has to single-handedly win a game or win series. Ovechkin was awful last night.
Yeah.
He was floating around the ice. He was brutal.
Missing shots, fanning on shots.
But don't bring it. Hey, it's a team sport.
Oh, he's
not fair to him.
Here's the only
thing
that I
will
say.
Like, it's
the only thing that was, all of those guys, they owned it. Like, TJ Oshie wasn't mouthing off last night about Bonino. He said, I've got to check with my feet. That's on me. It's a stupid play. That's the only thing that I, and it's not even a positive strain you can grab. It's just those guys know they're sitting in the room saying, we didn't get it done tonight. Our best players, Holtby, Ovi, Backstrom, didn't get it done tonight. You could throw Oshie in there as well. And that's why they've got to win three out of the next four, which seems like an absolute impossible task. And they're going home and they're going to lose in the second round. And a team that's won the President's Trophy twice, 2 years in a row.
Three
now they've
the next
got to,
three.
They've
won a lot recently.
Right.
Like we're talking 7-8 years here. They lost to the Habs in the first round of the 2010.
Well, there's not four. He just said three of the next four. There's only three left, right?
No, I know, but I'm saying
we're
talking 7-8 years of Washington doing the same thing. Every year they're favored. Every year this is their year, and it just never happens.
Right.
And it's never on Ovechkin. Apparently, it's never on any of their superstar players.
It's
going
to be on there. I mean, you
something's
can't deny
give
it. The evidence is right there in front of you. Three of three, they got to win.
Imagine if they were the Leafs, the Capitals were the Leafs, and this was like year 10 of you're the team. And
people would be freaking out.
The city would be on fire.
You can imagine. Ray is going to join us live from Paris, France, just after 5 p.m.
Comment ça va?
Vinny Del Negro, former NBA coach, Sirius XM NBA analyst. We'll get him in here. We'll ask him about what DeMar had to say about trying to lock down LeBron and what happened last night.
Let's try to do the whole convo with Ray and see how far we can carry it. En français. Yeah?
He won't do it.
We'll try.
Just say, salut, Ray. Comment ça va?
I don't know French.
Okay, I'll do it.
Neither.
All right, you're
Steph,
on the clock.
Tell Ray when he comes on, we're doing it all in French.
You're on the clock at 5 p.m. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Ray Ferraro in French just after 5 p.m.
Can food make you sweat?
Yeah, food can make you sweat.
Really?
You've never had the sweats from eating too much food?
I've had the meat sweats, like, but I've never actually, like, I joke about it, but I don't think I've ever, like, jammed a, I can't say sandwich because of my my whole
analogy earlier, yes.
Some people writing in saying I can't eat a sandwich now. I was trying to get my point across. But well, I don't think I've ever had a sweat from a sandwich.
There's some people that when they eat sausages and, like, Italian meats, they, like, literally the meat sweats.
Well, you can also have spicy food, right? Like, a lot of people are adverse to really spicy food.
Well, there's
food.
Some Grit Grinders. Whenever they start feeding, they just start sweating regardless. And you know exactly where I'm going with that.
I'm aware. I've seen it. I have witnessed it before.
Like,
I've been
could
in that
be
situation.
Just chicken sandwiches, and it's just a full meltdown.
I don't remember ever being in a spot where I was so uncomfortable like I was sweating, but I have been in positions where I've eaten too much, and you feel like the biggest slob on earth.
If I ever started sweating while eating, I'll just drop the food and drive my car right through a fitness place and park it and go in.
Like, it'd be quite motivational.
Yeah.
What led to you getting back into the swing of exercise?
Well, I was just mangling a Subway meatball sandwich.
You could see through my shirt after I was feeding on a sandwich or best Portuguese chicken, whatever it has to be.
Yes.
We want some more of that, by the way.
Yep, send it our way.
Potatoes, too.
Don't forget them. We got stiffed last time, and I think I've got an inside source on what happened.
Yeah, the sales guy stole them.
Sales guy brought up he brought up like three sheets of food, but
there was
mysteriously the potatoes weren't there. And he came in sweating,
he
too.
Did. That's why maybe there's some evidence, a lather.
I think he had the Portuguese potato sweats. Vinny Del Negro in 2 minutes. All right, so the Raptors are down 2-0. It feels like 11-0 in a best-of-seven series somehow.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah.
It's
3.75-0.
They got embarrassed last night, and in game one as well, and that was domination. No one asked Dwayne Casey if he would use the word dominate post-game to describe. I was a bit disappointed by that, but let's bring in former NBA coach, SiriusXM NBA analyst, and your boy, Didn't you party with Vinny Del Negro at one point?
We went to some golf tournaments together. There was a big, massive golf tournament down in Cary, North Carolina. That was quite a spot to be.
Confirm or deny, Vinny, you have partied with Jeff O'Neill.
I'm sure I have, and if I have, I was a lucky man. We must have had fun, Jeff, right?
Those were pretty good nights at the Jimmy V, weren't they?
They were the best, yeah. I'm actually on the... I'm on the campaign steering committee raising a bunch of money for the V Foundation. They do great work for cancer research and keep Coach V's legacy alive. So having you back there all those years and those golf tournaments and events they have, they do a great job.
Well, it's one of those scenes in Toronto today. You can just imagine what the mood is like. And I don't think the Raptors are really helping themselves. DeMar DeRozan today, kind of off the cuff, offered someone $100 if they could shut down LeBron. And Dwayne Casey was talking about how you can't make any mistakes in the Cavs. They're just too good. I mean, what do you make of the defeatist attitude you're seeing out of the Raptors at 2-0?
You know, it's tough because Cleveland is obviously, with LeBron, they do cause a lot of problems. What I want to see is I want to see a little bit more fight and grit and things that Coach Casey said after the game. You know, they beat us up good, so let's see how these guys respond. DeMar DeRozan, you know, he's a star player. He needs to play like a star. Kyle Lowry, those guys are the catalyst for that team. They have to play at a high level. But everybody else, it's not just them. It's the other guys. You almost have to make it almost get into a street fight with these guys a little bit. You got to get physical. You got to get aggressive. If you let these guys just run around, Kyrie and LeBron are just too dominant. You have to take away one thing. If you're going to let LeBron score, you got to shut down the other guys. If you're going to, you know, try to shut down LeBron and double-team him, the other guy's got to beat you. You got to pick your spots. It's easy to talk about, but they're a very good team and the world champs for a reason.
Why can't DeMar DeRozan's game translate to the playoffs? I mean, he's a top-10 scorer in the regular season, putting up big numbers, and he can dominate games, and yet come the playoffs, he just becomes a, a non-factor, at least through these two games?
You know, I think it's everybody else, too. I mean, you're going to put the best defender on them. You can trap them, which teams have done. Other guys got to make plays. You have guys that are, supposed to be playing at a higher level that aren't. So if they're going to trap my better players, the really good teams, when you trap their best players, they have outlets. They make other guys that are average players better players. Now they make plays. Now you're trying to make adjustments, and now it can free spots up for your star players. But it's not always about scoring the basketball, although I think DeMar has to score for them to have success. It's about making the right play and leading in a way defensively in timeouts, in film sessions, getting mentally prepared at halftime before the game. That's where those guys have to lead, and other guys have to step up, not just your star players.
We're chatting with former NBA coach, SiriusXM NBA analyst Vinny Del Negro here on Overdrive.
Vinny, our host here seems to think that the Raps are going to maybe pick up one win in this home series with the Cavs. I mean, do you buy that? Do you think they can regroup and pick up a victory here at home?
I think they can. I mean, the Lowry injury is really difficult. I haven't heard if he's playing or where he's at. He's not going to be 100%. We know that. But it's not going to be that. What I want to see is, you're going to have to handle Cleveland's first quarter. You have to handle their first quarter because they're going to try to jump on you quick. And if you can do that and manage a second and third, and then it's going to come down, can they execute on the offensive end, take away easy transition baskets, not turn it over, and make Cleveland play from the perimeter with contested jump shots? If you can make them play from the perimeter more, they're not a great three-shooting team. They're a little erratic at times. Now you can rebound and run. Toronto has to get some easy baskets in transition instead of always trying to execute in the half court against the versatility that the Cavs had in the front line, especially with LeBron.
We were talking about this earlier in the hour, Vinny, and I know it's only 2-0, but this feels as if the series is over. The Raptors aren't going to win 4 of the next
3.75 5. 3.75 to nothing.
Yeah, it feels that way. And
right.
It's a situation, though, where we can't be that surprised because we've been talking about it for 12 months. And I think this is a big issue in the NBA because 25, 26, 27 markets go into the season. They know their teams don't have a shot at a deep run. They know what the finals are going to be. It's going to be Golden State, Cleveland. I mean, it's going to happen. And that'll be 3 years in a row. And when LeBron goes back to the finals, that's 7 years in a row. You've been in the NBA a long time and you've been in that bubble. Is this something that gets brought up? Is this an issue about how predictable it is year after year?
I think it's an issue, you know, and the league wants parity. The new collective bargaining agreement gives the owners in smaller markets the parity now because you don't have to get rid of players. You have enough money now to sign and keep players. It's not like when I played, the smaller market teams would struggle keeping free agents because the bigger markets could outspend them. Now that's not the case with the new owners in, billionaire owners, but really the TV money is dictating all this spending. But at the other end, it's interesting. You know, the Celtics were dominant. People love them. The Lakers were dominant. They love them. The Pistons had some dominant years. You're going to get some people that don't like it. You're going to get some people that do. But there's always been some type of – Michael Jordan's teams won 6 out of 8 years when he took 2 years off for baseball. You know, the league, the Spurs have won 5 in the last 15. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's going to change soon if Kevin Durant and Curry stay in Golden State, which they will, LeBron staying in Cleveland, which he will, those two teams could be facing off for a while, kind of like the Celtics and Lakers in years past.
I think you're right. Great stuff, Vinny. Thank you for doing this as always.
Anytime, guys. Good to talk to you. And good luck to the Raptors up there.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
They're going to need it.
Yeah, Vinny Del Negro, former NBA coach and SiriusXM NBA analyst.
He knew how to operate his business, too.
Was he a good golfer?
He's a pretty good golfer. And I just remember his wife being a 27 out of 10.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Vinny Del Negro.
Yeah. Cool name.
Well, we appreciate him joining us.
Exactly.
Good insight.
He's a solid dude.
Very good guy.
And we're talking about the meat sweats and stuff. Tony Ceesin sent us the Armageddon Wings Challenge.
That's a way back Wednesday, no?
Ooh, I forgot about that.
You are...
I'm you up are, there, man.
You are a bigger gentleman.
You're a tub of garbage.
It was not
Gibby
a good
was a
look.
Tub of garbage too.
Gibby came in too, and
no, that was he came in for
that
the,
was another.
The
that was for a donut display. I think that sent Kevin Gibson on the on that new life regiment.
Yeah,
like I think he went back and watched the tape and said, "I can't believe I just stuffed 18 Timbits in my face."
You might want to go back and watch the tape here.
I've seen it. I don't need to see it. I need to get that banned from YouTube. It is a terrible.
You look
terrible
like a, just a giant beaver, like just
eating wings. I got the earmuffs on. I got the worst like blue t-shirt.
You've got the earmuffs on.
Yeah,
you're a bigger dude. I forgot about that. See, I just register with you now. Like
I always think you look the same to me, but then when you go back and it's you were just a.
I lost like a lot of weight and like changed everything.
Yeah, you would have had to get new clothes and everything.
Whole new lifestyle, whole new wardrobe. But I would plug that wing joint that hooked us up with that spot, but I can't stand those people anymore.
Because you went back there a couple weeks later.
Not even
like, who the hell are you?
Like a few days later thinking, hey, I just gave this guy a bunch of free advertisement, let him come in here and do a spiel, and he gave us like 80 wings as if that meant something. And I roll in there. He looked at me like I had just landed from a different country.
Yeah. What's it called? Buds? Buds?
No, we're not giving it anything. No, we're not saying
it. If you know who you are, wing guy, make it up to us. You can make it right.
I'm not sure he can. It was the most gutless routine I've ever seen in my life. Like 3 days later, I walk in. Hey, there he is. Just looks at me and goes, what?
He gave me the soup Nazi treatment.
He goes, what's your name?
Yeah.
I go, Brian. He goes, all right, I'll go see if your order's ready. Rings me up.
He pretended he didn't know
just
you.
Just the full out, you are scum and I don't care who you are routine.
That's true. We're not going to give them pub. But
no,
that,
they're not getting
that
anything.
They video, can make it right, though, if you know who you are.
That video is outstanding, though.
Yeah, it is. I hate it, but it is.
The hell with them.
All right, Ray Ferraro will join us. We're going to have Duthie and Bob in studio at the same time. We're going to try to spark a podcast war.
Oh, the rubber boots.
See if we can get these guys kind of hating on each other.
You guys don't
podcast.
Need me to come back for that if they're in here, both of them, right?
Well, you're on the
show.
Yeah,
you got to be
back
for that.
You might want to come back.
Of course you do.
It's not Friday yet. It's not Mail It In Friday.
Yeah.
You guys don't mail it in anyway. Friday, we're supposed to play audio all day.
That was never agreed upon. I don't know where you came up
with that. Why do you think we came
that?
Up with the name Mail It In Friday? Like, there's great interviews all day. We replay them.
It's a play on words. It's like, may the 4th be with you. It just works.
Yes.
It's something that is there for us. Mail It In Friday.
What do you think our Star Wars characters would be? Am I Chewbacca?
We were just talking about Jabba the Hutt.
He might be Jabba.
Oh, dude. What? Okay, you're...
No,
I'm Han Solo.
He used to be Jabba the Hutt. He's not anymore.
Now I'm Jabba the Hutt.
No, I'll give you, I don't know.
A stormtrooper?
Yeah, maybe you're one of those stormtroopers.
No, I'm the...
Am I Han Solo?
I'll be Skywalker. You could be
I'm
Solo.
Luke. Come on.
I don't really want to be Luke. I mean, I'd rather be Han Solo. He hooked up with Princess Leia.
I have to be honest. I used to watch Star Wars, but they lost
Luke?
Me.
Han Solo. No, Luke's... They're brother and sister, Solo.
They lost
Han
me
Solo
in the sequels.
Han Solo did not take down...
Yes, he did. Han Solo and Princess Leia are
They used to hook up, even off camera, apparently.
Yeah, that was a big story. Before Carrie Fisher passed away, she went public with the fact that...
Harrison Ford and
did he take her down with those buns in the hair?
I don't know.
You never know.
Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes. We'll get back into the Raptors game last night. What happened with the Jays last night? What happened at Fenway last night? Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, grit grinder looking back on last night.
I'm going with Marc-Andre Fleury. That guy put a show on last night.
I'm
going
to go with Phil Kessel.
On yelling on the bench. He was pretty
animated.
Well,
he was yelling at the trainer. I don't really support that. Where's my skates?
He lost the blade, and he was up next shift. He was actually really intense.
This guy's
about it.
Such an idiot. Where's my skates?
You could tell he was nervous that his man was going to come, and he's going to be like, I don't have my skate.
That's not good, eh?
But he was honestly, he was shaking his hands like, get my skates.
I love Phil.
He was good.
Up 3-1. I don't want to give one to the Cavs, but you kind of got to give a shout out to LeBron.
Just for that routine?
And there were a couple of guys that got after Toronto teams last night. Aaron Judge hit another home run for the Yankees last night.
Yeah.
That guy is a beast. And Ryan Getzlaff, let's be honest.
That was a dominant display.
That was Eric Lindros.
That's like your Hall of Fame game tape. Like, when you go into the Hall, they play that game.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is why he's in the Hall of Fame. Because he dominated.
And you talked about it a little bit, Brian. It's like, Ovi, I don't know if you could have really done what Getzlaff did last night, but you are not even close.
He wasn't even close to doing that. You got to be visible.
Where Getzlaff just took, at the start of the second period, he took control of the game. That was it. It was his game.
Ray was somehow up tweeting about that game. He's over in Paris, and he's staying up for the late game in North America. So we'll catch up with Ray in about 10 minutes, and Duffy and Bob will be in studio. We'll get back into the Raptors game last night. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.